It's here and now. If you go see the movie Good Kill, you'll watch on the big screen a soldier watching a smaller screen as he fires a missile on suspected terrorists. The soldier is a drone operator, and Ethan Hawke plays that soldier, Tom Egan, a former Air Force pilot who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, but is now based in a trailer in Las Vegas. And as he tells another team member in a scene in the movie, he misses the thrill of being in the air.
There's a risk, you know, we try landing on a carrier at night, in rough seas, the deck's pitching 30 feet, low fuel. We've got no skin in the game. I feel like a coward every day. Taking pot shots from half a world away in an air-conditioned cubicle.
Well, that remote combat, however, takes its toll. Egan drinks heavily and his marriage is falling apart. Andrew Niccol produced, directed, and wrote the screenplay for Good Kill. And Andrew, let me just first ask you, why did you want to make a film about drone warfare?
That was a culmination of events. You know, read in the news, you know, there's a drone strike here, there's a drone strike there. And when I researched it, I discovered this character, which is becomes Ethan Hawke's character, which is a totally different type of soldier, where you basically go to war at home. Hmm. These guys have a very schizophrenic life. They fight the Taliban by remote control for 12 hours a day, and then they go home to their wife and kids. And I always thought, well, what does that do to the psyche of a soldier, and what toll does that take?
Is there a reason why you set it in Las Vegas? I'm curious.
The U.S. military set it in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. The reason they did, actually, is because the terrain around Las Vegas looks very much like the mountainous terrain of Afghanistan. They even do something else, which is when you look up at a drone in the sky, you can't actually see it. It's a mile in the sky, even if you were looking directly at it. And so what they do to train is that they will follow tourist cars coming from Los Angeles to Vegas, and just practice following them as if they were following a Taliban truck.
See, because when I saw the film, one of the things that struck me about it being set in Vegas was that, you know, Las Vegas itself, that area on the Strip, is so surreal.
Yeah, no, I was struck by that as well. It's just an obscene contrast in deserts.
So can you tell me more about how you did the research for this film? Were you able to actually speak with any drone operators?
Yeah, no, I relied very heavily on ex-drone pilots. I didn't get any official help from the military, but I used drone pilots to authenticate everything. And one thing I actually used was WikiLeaks. In some ways, I suppose I should have credited Chelsea Manning as a research assistant, because the drone strikes that you see were all modeled on drone strikes disseminated by WikiLeaks, which is kind of the only place you can get them.
So did the drone operators that you spoke to, I mean, how much did they tell you about what we see happening to Ethan Hawke's character? Because, you know, there are consequences, even if you are not in the theater of war, of being at war while at home.
No, it's a very complicated form of PTSD, because what happens with a drone is that you drop your munitions and you sit there and wait and you watch and you do what they call damage assessment and count the dead. You see what bits and pieces of bodies are put together, and you're seeing that in high def. So that really affects drone pilots. But on the other hand, they can't admit to having symptoms of PTSD because they would feel shameful about it. So it's not something that they can easily talk about, and so they often internalize it.
Hmm. Now, one thing that you do explore in the film is collateral damage. I mean, the operators in the film are very aware of children, civilians, families near where they're told to fire upon. And yet when they're ordered to, they do. So I'm just wondering, you know, the actual drone operators that you spoke with for your research for the film, did they talk to you about that?
One of the drone operators said to me, you know, when I get the order, you know, up the chain of command to fire, he says they bought the bomb. And by that he means that whatever happens to that missile that's fired, if a kid runs into the impact zone, whatever happens, that's no longer my responsibility. And that was how he could actually deal with it.
Hmm. You know, in recent months or years, the drone program has come under increasing attention, you know, in the public consciousness. Were you sort of aware of that? I presume you were aware of that as you were making the film. And did the conversation that sort of the country is having writ large about the drone program sort of enter into how you made the film?
Well, it's sort of a matter of yes and no. As I was making it, I mean, I was educating myself about the drone program. But you'd be surprised about the lack of awareness of exactly what's being done in our names. You know, whether you think you're an advocate of the drone program or you're an opponent, you should know more what's being done to the targeted and also the targeters, if that's a word. If the movie can, you know, shed some light on that and really begin a dialogue and provoke some thought, then I think that's a good thing.
Andrew Nichol is the writer, director, and producer of the new film, Good Kill. Andrew Nichol, what a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.